Psalms 37. We've been looking at this Psalms for the past few weeks and looking at different aspects of the godly and the godly man and the wicked man here, and things that we've all wondered about a lot of times. We look at situations, and David here, as he pens this psalm down, the first verse said, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb." And we all have a tendency to look and we see the wicked as they prosper. We look in all around us and we can see that happening. And if you're not careful, you'll get to being envious of those people. And you'll get to wondering why. Why do they prosper, seems like, and then God's people, good people, they suffer and they don't have like the wicked people do sometimes. And we have to be careful about that. And it's an age-old question that's been asked down through the ages by different ones. And people have entertained thoughts of that. And we looked at prospects one week that are foreign to the wicked. And I'm not going to go through all of them. You can go back and read this. We'll read verses 23 through the remainder of the chapter in just a minute. But I just want to give you the points that we looked at for the past few weeks on this subject here that David has pinned down, this age-old question that's been asked. But he said there, "Fret not." And we looked the first thing, the righteous man's discovery there in verse 1 and 2. And you realize that they may have things in this life, but where their end is, that's all they have. This life, the enjoyments that they have, the prosperity that they have. But one of these days, it's all going to end. And then we looked at the righteous man's dwellings there in verse 3. And I'm not going to hit each one of these for sake of time. And then the next thing was the righteous man's delight there in verse 4. And I will say this, the Bible said there, "Delight thyself also in the Lord." That ought to be the desire of each and every one of us, to delight ourselves in the Lord. I mean, it's wonderful to be able to, they have camp meetings, they're having camp meeting over at Canaan, and people go to the house of God, they love together and get in a good meeting and worship and just delight ourselves in the things of God. Not just meetings, but everything in life that pertains to life. As be like David said here, to delight ourselves in the Lord here. And then the next thing we looked at was the righteous man's dependence there in verses 5 and 6. And he taught there in the first part of verse 5, said, "Commit thy way unto the Lord." We have a hard time doing that. As individuals, we have a hard time committing ourselves to the Lord, to commit our lives, to commit our needs to Him. And it's the same with everybody. We're all made of the same stuff. But if we never get to that point and place where we can trust in the Lord and we delight ourselves in the Lord and commit ourselves to the Lord, hey, things would be a whole lot better in our lives. It'd be a whole lot better in our churches. And then we've seen the righteous man's discipline, verse 7. And again, he mentions that word fret there about those that are wicked. And then the next thing was the righteous man's deliverance, verses 8 and 9, and then the righteous man's domains there in verse 11. Then the next week we looked at, I think I've got it here. Yeah, pursuits that are favored by the wicked. Pursuits that are favored by the wicked. And we looked at the wicked man's plots there in verses 12 to 13. And then the second thing was the wicked man's power, verses 14 and 15. If you've not read this chapter, go back and read it. It would do you good just to find out what all is being said here about the wicked and the godly. And then the third thing was the wicked man's prosperity there in verses 16 through 17. And all too many times in our materialistic culture, we put the emphasis in the wrong place. We put the emphasis on the things that we have instead of the most important things. The Bible says, "Seek ye first kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you." And then we've seen the wicked man's protection, verses 18 and 20. And I will read these two verses. The Bible said, "The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied." And I'm glad there's protection for those that are believers in times of famine, in times of trouble, in times of problem. And we know where our protection lies. It lies with God and in the things of God. And then we've seen the wicked man's pledge, verses 21 to 22. We've seen the deception of the wicked and then the delight of the righteous there. And tonight I want to look for just a little bit, and it won't take us long, I don't think, tonight, but we want to look at paths that are forsaken by the wicked. Paths that are forsaken by the wicked. And as you read this and come down through here, we find here that David comes back now to look at the godly man and the path that he walks through a life. And it's a good and a right way. The straight and the narrow path. It holds no attraction at all for the wicked. And the Bible tells us in one of the Gospels, says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate that leads to destruction, but narrow is the way that leads unto life everlasting." And so we see here paths that are forsaken by the wicked here. And as David comes back to this subject of the godly man, we see number one, we see the righteous man's walk there in verses 23 to 24. And he said, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand." And I've always felt that this was a great security verse of the Bible. The great security verse of the Bible. You know, we talk about our salvation, that it's eternal. No one can take it away. But Ecclesiastes says, "Whatsoever God doeth, he doeth it forever." And then David here, he says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, though he fall." I mean, the best of men fall from time to time. Even saved people sometimes, they mess up and they fall. But David says here, "The steps of good men are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." He said, "Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand." I'm glad we're not holding on, we're not holding out, but God's holding us in his hand. I'm glad he's got a hold of it, and I'm glad he's in control of our lives. A man by the name of George Mueller founded five great orphan houses on Ashley Down in Bristol, England, and knew how to walk close to the Lord. He was dependent on him for the daily needs of hundreds of boys and girls, and in later years, a missionary to a score of lands used to say, "Yes, and not only the steps of the Lord, of a man, but sometimes the stops of the righteous man." Not only the steps, but sometimes the stops. And we know that in our walk as believers, a lot of times we don't understand that things and direction that God gives us in our life to walk in. A lot of times there's a lot of red flags that comes up. And we don't understand why maybe that red light has come up and God is trying to keep us from going in that direction. You pull up the stop sign, you don't run right on through it. And when God throws up a stop sign in your life, we need to stop and think, what is that there for? Maybe it's something that we want to do, and it may not be a bad thing to do, but yet God has thrown a red light up in our life, or a red flag. And then not only sometimes red flags that are just stop, don't go no further. You need to pay attention. Look both ways. Look every way. And if God don't want you to go on through that red flag, then you need to just back off. And sometimes, the Bible says God's ways are not our ways, and neither our thoughts his thoughts, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. And sometimes those red flags go up. Then we find a lot of times in the righteous man's walk, there's the yellow flags that throw up. Caution flags. You know, Ephesians. Let me turn over there. I can't get my train of thought going here. Paul said in chapter 5, verse 15, says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." You know, there's ways that we we have to pay attention sometimes. We have to walk cautiously. And I've told you what Billy Kelly said about that. He said that verse means that it's like a cat walking on a picket fence and a bulldog on either side of it. I mean, they're always waiting to pounce on that cat. And that's the way it is with us a lot of times. God knows what we're facing. God knows what we're fixing to go through. And sometimes he'll throw a yellow flag. I mean, he may not be saying just stop and don't go, but he's giving us a caution. He's warning us to overstep some bounds sometimes. And it would do us good to pay attention to those red flags and those yellow flags. But then a lot of times we see there's green flags or green lights that we can proceed on. I mean, we don't have to. We get God's mind on something and we're walking, we're serving him. We're living for him. We're trying to please him in our lives. And sometimes we get that green flag. I mean, go for it. And everything works out and it all falls into place a lot of times, especially when God says it's okay. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Though he fall, and he delighteth in his way, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. And I'm glad, as we fail so many times in our walk with God, I'm glad that he's got a hold of us. I'm glad if we're sincere, we're sincerely seeking his will. Hey, we're studying the word of God. Hey, let me say this. Everything out there that's got religion on it is not religion, and it's not right. Everything's got a steeple on it out there is not a church. Everything that talks religiously is not right. And we need to be careful. And I'm glad that, as David says here, that our steps of a good man, that one is saved, that one is born again, is ordered by the Lord. Hey, we can know the will of God by getting in this book. Hey, if it don't line up in this book, you better leave it alone. You better leave these people alone out here, hey, that claim to be something that they're not. I mean, there's a lot of false prophets out there today. There's a lot that claim to be preachers that's not preachers. There's a lot that will lead you wrong if you're not careful. I've said this a lot of times. I'm Baptist born and Baptist bred, and when I'm dead, I'll be Baptist dead. I think the Baptists are the closest to being right and following this book, if they're in the book, as any denomination that they are out there. Every denomination that's out there is not preaching truth. Hey, most every denomination out there believes that you can lose your salvation. Overall, that's the practice and what they preach. And we know that this Bible tells us of eternal security. And we're saved. And if it's not lined up with this book, better leave it alone. Hey, and if it's a woman preacher, you better stay clear of her, because there ain't no such animal as a woman preacher. And, you know, there's so many things out there today. You got to be careful. You got to be careful what you read. You got to be careful what you read. If it's not biblically sound, the best thing to do is leave it alone. Hey, stay away from it. Stay in touch with God. Stay in touch with God in your walk every day. Not just on Sundays, but every day. Sunday through Saturday. I mean, 7 days a week. Not just when you go to church. So many people will be, they think just because they go to church, they're okay. And I preach that you ought to go to church. Hey, but just because you're coming to church don't mean that you're all right and that you're walking with God. A lot of people go to the house of God just to sort of appease their soul and appease their conscience. In reality, in their walk, they're not walking with God. A lot of people are claiming to be something they're not. A lot of people have never passed from death into life. Hey, they've had a counterfeit. Everything that God does, Satan counterfeits. He's given a lot of people a little feeling somewhere along the way, and they thought it was salvation, and it wasn't. Hey, if God didn't put a desire in you to walk with him and to live for him and to be obedient to his word, then you better check up. He said, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. You know God delights in your way. He delights in your walk when you're reflecting Him to the world, that the world can see Christ in your life. Hey, God delights in your ways. I've looked at that and looked at it today, and it said the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. That could be taken either way, I guess. You know, the steps of a good man, or if you're walking with God, the good man could delight in His way, the ways that he's walking in. But it could mean also, and it probably does, that God delights in His way, the way that He's walking, how He's walking on a regular basis, how He's bringing glory and honor to God. Everything that you and I as believers, hey, that we do, we should bring glory to God. Paul said, whatsoever you do, do heartily as unto the Lord. So, wherever we go, whatever we do, whatever we say, hey, we ought to be doing it to bring glory to God. Hey, we ought to be walking so as to please Him every day. We see the righteous man's walk. We see the righteous man's wants there in verse 25. The Bible says, I have been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken nor seed begging bread. I mean, David's past life, it was a turbulent life. I mean, his life was turbulent in a lot of ways. Twice he was a fugitive, running for his life, running from Saul there in the very beginning when David would go out and he'd win battles, and Saul became jealous and of the things that they were saying. They were singing, David has killed, Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his 10,000. Saul began to be jealous. He knew that there was something different about David. And he became jealous. His life had been turbulent. It had been twice as a future. Hey, he had outlived all that, but at this time he's older when he's writing this. This is a psalm of David's old age. And he had seen what had happened in his life, how he had run for his life. He had even went to the Philistines seeking protection. His own son Absalom had led a revolt and was trying to kill David. David had outlived all of that. He's seen the problems, the turbulence that had come into his life. Yet he penned this down and he said, I've been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken nor seed begging bread. He's seen the faithfulness of God in his life. And we see the righteous man's wants. I mean, he wants things that will please God. And even though things come your way sometimes and it looks like everything's against you, hey, but David here, he said, yet because of all this, he had not ever been abandoned by God. Can I say we serve a good God? Amen. Even though things might be bad and sometimes in our walk we might stumble, we might fall, yet I'm glad that God, in His love for us, He's holding us up. Yes. Nobody can take that away. The righteous man's wants. And then we see, number three, we see the righteous man's works there in verses 26 to 27. He said, He is ever merciful and lendeth, and His seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. So we see the righteous man's works here. Number one, he's merciful. He's merciful. He's not always trying to destroy someone. The wicked man is always trying. If you'll go back and read the first part of this, verse 12, it said, the wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. But it says, the Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. And we see here the righteous man's work, he's merciful. You know, somebody that's righteous, they're merciful to those that are in need a lot of times. You know, even as much, sometimes I see people holding up signs, and I say things to Debbie and, you know, about them, they need to get a job. Or something like that. I never did turn that mic on. But yet, deep down inside, I feel I want to be merciful to that person. Because God put something in my heart. And even though I know that most of them guys, they could work just like Chris and like Daryl and like me and some of you ladies. They could work. They're just panhandlers. But still, hey, God put something, you don't never know. Hey, that just because they're not all bad eggs. Some of them are really need some help. But we see the righteous man's works. He's merciful. He sees people in need and he wants to help them. He wants to lift them up. That over there in the where the Levite come by and he didn't stop and help him. Huh? The Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan come along. Everybody, the religious had passed him by. Who was it else that had passed him by? The religious, there was someone else. But anyway, they passed him by. Two others had come by and passed him by. That Good Samaritan had come by. And he took him and he bandaged him up and took care of him. Carried him to the inn and told him, paid him. Told him to take care of him. I mean, he showed mercy to that man. Hey, the priest had passed up. The Levite had passed up. They didn't turn a hand to help him. But that Good Samaritan come by. He was merciful to that man. And he helped him. And then not only righteous man's works, he's merciful, verse 26, but he's moral, verse 27. The Bible says, depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. And so we see the righteous man, his works, he's merciful, he's moral in his everyday walk. Boy, I'm going to tell you, there's so much wickedness today. In the book of Judges, it ended with everyone did that which was right in his own eyes. You look around, if we're not living in the last verse of the book of Judges, I'm not here tonight. Everyone does what's right in their own eyes. But the righteous man's works, he's merciful, he's moral in his walk with God. He brings glory to God. Hey, he has the kind of works that God blesses. Hey, you want to be blessed of God? Hey, try like David's talking here of these paths that are forsaken by the wicked. Hey, be like the righteous man. Have a walk that's pleasing to God. Have wants that will bring glory to God in your life and works that will be pleasing to Him. Hey, the kind of works that God will bless. I'm glad that God wants to bless us. I'm glad He wants us to be prosperous, I believe. But we see the righteous man's works. Next, we see the righteous man's welfare. Verse 28 and 29. I read this. It said, we need to remember the vision of the psalm is millennial and God's purpose doesn't come to pass in a day. In the Old Testament, the believer anticipated a heaven on earth. Hey, the glory age. When Christ will reign and when the Old Testament saints will come into their own. Hey, we need to remember the basic difference in the Old Testament believer and the New Testament believer. In the New Testament, he has to be in a person. In the Old Testament, he has to be in a place. And then in the Old Testament, he had to be in Canaan. And in the New Testament, he had to be in Christ. In the Old Testament, God's blessings was yea and amen in the land. And in the New Testament, it is yea and amen in the Lord. So we see the righteous man's welfare. It all lies in the Lord. I mean, in what God has done for us and what He's going to do for us as believers. And then we see, fifthly, we see the righteous man's wisdom. We see the righteous man's wisdom, verse 30 and 31. Hey, the Bible said, the mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. We find the ungodly man prides himself in his own ability and knowledge. Hey, what he knows or thinks he knows. Education, wealth, accomplishment, things that he's acquired. The righteous man draws from a well of wisdom, hey, which is unfailing springs from the omniscience of God. These are paths that are forsaken by the wicked. Hey, they're steep and narrow, but they lead to life. It's a whole lot better to go in at the narrow gate that leads to life and to climb the steeps that lead to God than to enter in the wide gate and travel the broad downward path to destruction. The Bible said, if any man lacketh wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth liberally unto all men and upbraideth not. Hey, wisdom is knowing how to take the knowledge and what God has done for you and put it to practice. Knowledge is acquired by anyone that's willing to study and to put facts and things into their head. But yet wisdom goes deeper than that. It goes, first of all, a person having to know Jesus as their Savior and applying that knowledge. Knowledge is good. Knowledge will help you exceed in life. Hey, but without Christ, you'll not have no wisdom to use that knowledge. The righteous man's wisdom. And then, not only, I'm going to give you this in closing, and we'll be done with this chapter, but not only the paths that are forsaken by the wicked, but then we see some points that are forgotten by the wicked. Verses 32-34, we see the truth is on the side of the godly. That truth is on the side of the godly. Verse 32-34, the Bible said, the wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. So we see the truth is always on the side of the godly. Hey, God is going to honor truth. He's going to honor the truth in those that are righteous, that's obedient, that's walking with Him, hey, that has the right kind of wants and has the right kind of wisdom and using that in their lives. Truth is on the side of the godly. Then not only truth is on the side of the godly, but time is on the side of the godly. Verse 35 and 36, David said, I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. So we see time is on the side of the godly. David could have written such words about either Saul or Absalom. Hey, he knew from his own personal experience that time is on the side of the godly. No matter what problems, what persecution, what things come your way. Hey, I'm glad that God is on the side of the godly. And we may look like we're a minority today. Hey, but God's on our side. When we walk with Him and we live for Him and we honor Him in our lives and allow Him to use us the extent that He desires to, I'm glad that time is on our side. It may not look like it, but I'm glad that in time, hey, we're winners. We're winners either way. If we go or if we stay. I like that old song. And then lastly, we see trust is on the side of the godly. Trust is on the side of godly. Verses 37-40. Hey, the Bible says, mark. David said, mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. Trust is on the side of the godly. He said, that end of that man is peace. And verse 38 says, but the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. But salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in Him. I went down through there and marked the things that that these verses said about the righteous man, the perfect man, the upright man. He said, verse 37 said, for the end of that man is peace. I'm glad there's peace for those in the end that love God, that walk with God. Hey, that are saved, that has experienced salvation. And then verse 38 said, but the transgressors shall be destroyed together. I'm glad we'll not be judged with the transgressors. Hey, they'll be destroyed together. The wicked shall be cut off. Verse 39, though, said, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength. Hey, we have no strength of our own. Anyway, and I'm glad when we trust the Lord and we realize that, hey, that God is our strength, that He's always on our side when we're doing right, when we're walking with Him on a regular basis, when we're trusting Him. Hey, when we're committing our way, verse 5, to Him, to the Lord. Hey, when we're resting in the Lord. Verse 7. I'm glad that the Lord, He's on our side. He's our strength in time of trouble. And verse 40 says, shall help them. One place it said, my help cometh from the Lord. And I'm glad that verse 40 says, and the Lord shall help them who? The righteous, those that are right with Him, and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in Him. Points that are forgotten by the wicked. Hey, this wicked world ain't thinking much about Jesus. They're not thinking much about church. Hey, they're not thinking much about where they're going to spend eternity. A large majority of people just think that this Bible's a fairy tale. They've never trusted Jesus as their Savior. The mass of the human race is on their way to hell. They're on the Broadway. And this evening, hey, when we get to thinking about what God has done for us, what He's doing for us, and what He's going to do, hey, we ought to be the happiest people in the world. We ought to be rejoicing in the Lord on a regular, everyday basis, walking with Him. Hey, whether we're in poverty, whether we're in riches, hey, God's going to supply our needs. David said, I've been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor seed begging bread. Can I say, hey, that when we do what God tells us to do, He's always come through. Did you know if you live your life according to this Bible, no matter what the wicked do, what they do to you, what they try to do to you, I'm glad that God will meet our needs. He said, I've been young and now I'm old. I'm an old man now. I've seen God to be faithful down through the years, whatever situation might come my way. David, no doubt, sometimes when he was in the wilderness running from Saul, he knew he was to be king. I've wondered about that a lot of times, why David, he knew that God had anointed him. Samuel had anointed him to be king of Israel. But yet, we find David fleeing in the caves of Adullam. Hey, going to the Philistines trying to seek help. Hey, getting down in the floor, graveling around, acting like a madman. And he knew, hey, that God's hand was on him, that God was protecting him. But yet, so many times we get like that. Hey, we just think that God is not there. Hey, that God's not going to come through for us. But David said, I've been young, now I'm old. Hey, he said, I can look back on my life and I can see the things that I did. Some of those things were stupid, no doubt. David didn't do everything right before he became king. And then after he became king, hey, he did some real terrible things. I mean, he took another man's wife. He sent to the front line, brought him back, and tried to get him to cover up that sin, go in and be with his wife. And when Uriah was more honorable than David, he would not go back. He wouldn't go into his wife while the armies of God was at war. Can you imagine a man after God's own heart sent a letter back to Joab and said, put Uriah up on the front lines. And yet, you get to Psalms 37 and he's able to write, I've been young, now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken nor seed begging bread. Hey, David knew something about God. Hey, David was a man just like we are. And we don't understand a lot of times. The Bible said David was a man after God's own heart. The only thing I can figure out is the reason David was a man after God's own heart is that David knew how to pray. And David knew how to repent. David knew how to worship. Because, hey, he done some things that we'd mark him off. We'd say, surely he's lost. Hey, he ain't never been saved. Man, he'd take another man's wife and then have him sent to front lines. A man that was more honorable than he was and have him put to death. But you see, David paid for a fall. He paid for his sin. But he realized when he penned this psalm down, He said, I've been young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor seed begging bread. I believe if David was here today, he'd say, God is good. God has been good to me. In my riotous living and my vile things that I've done, yet God has been good. He's been faithful. He's met the needs. I've never been forsaken of Him. Some people that just, they just can't never get their salvation nailed down, you know? Hey, God has promised in His Word that if we come to Him, He'll save us. He'll forgive us of our sins. Hey, our past, our present, and our future sins. Hey, He knew what you was going to do after you got saved before you ever done it. And He still saved you. I've been young, now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor seed begging bread. Hey, God is good this evening. I don't know how we can't walk with Him. I don't know how we can't allow Him to work in our lives and use us. But yet we do. We go our own way sometimes. But when you get to think about it, God is in control. He's in control. He knows exactly. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Though he fall, yet he not utterly be cast down. I'm glad God's got a hold of us. He puts up those flags in our lives a lot of time because He loves us. And when I think about His love, how can I not serve Him? How can we just walk away sometimes and not allow Him to work in our life? Let's pray. Lord, we praise You and thank You again for the opportunity to be here this Wednesday evening. Lord, we know that the message may have been scattered a little bit, but Lord, we just thank You for Your goodness, Your mercy. We thank You for, Lord, that You're in control of our lives, that You're leading us, You're directing us. Lord, help us to get a hold of that thought, Lord, and to know, God, that You're ordering our steps, and even sometimes You're ordering our stops. Lord, thank You for being good to us. Thank You for loving us. Thank You for being in control of our lives. Surely, we'd make a complete mess had it not been for You. We love You in Jesus' name. Amen.